guys. Good morning, or almost afternoon. I'm from New York City, so it feels like it's, 11 o'clock for sure. I've been up since 2:30 this morning, so I apologize if I say anything kind of crazy or if I sound a little bit diluted, but it's probably because I am. So I want to talk to you guys about paid social targeting today, and just so that I can get kind of like an idea of where everybody is at in this room, I guess a few questions I want to know. So who here in this room is responsible for paid social campaigns? If you could just raise your hand. Okay, so a lot of people. Who here farms that work out to an agency? Okay, good to know. Okay, so a little bit about me and PwC. So here's one more question. Who here knows who PwC is? Oh, pretty much everybody. Well, you guys are way further and have a lot more knowledge than I did when I joined PwC, because I had no idea what PwC was when they approached me to join their team. And it was a very weird transition for me because, like you heard, in 2008, I launched social media for LVMH properties, so Louis Vuitton, Moët Hennessy, DKNY, Belvedere Vodka, Marc Jacobs. It was a really exciting time in 2008. Everyone was just getting their bearings. Paid social wasn't a thing. You can rely on organic. So when I came to PwC, I really didn't understand what an assurance audit was. I had no idea. Well, you can see my background. I had no idea really about tax policy. And like, why would that be interesting in social media when I'm coming from a world from fashion, you know? But believe it or not, I found a home for myself at PwC, and this is not a plug, but because there's a lot of misconceptions around PwC. A lot of people just think of it as a big, big, big global brand that does taxes and audits for just about every large corporation in the world, which it is, but it actually puts out amazing content that not a lot of people know about. So joining PwC, I saw it as my role to do just that, to change the perception and to make sure people knew about it. So this is not a case study, but this is sort of like my journey over the past 2 years with PwC, how I did that and how I let the stakeholders at PwC, who are, for lack of a better term, old school, understand that we are successful, right? So so we're going to talk a little bit about content strategy, goals, how much money we had to work with. And when you guys think about PwC, you probably think that I have a $1 billion budget. I do not. I probably have budgets similar to everybody else in this room. Targeting, which is really the bulk of this conversation, and then effective KPIs. And that being a really big factor in determining success, because I'm sure everybody here has a stakeholder that they need to report to. And I want to say, I don't have actual data, but I want to say that 90% of those people have no idea what you're talking about. So content strategy. We all, probably most of us, have written social media content in our lives, in our careers, and it's really simple. If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough, right? So, you know, we have these content calendars that we built, and whether or not they're going to have paid budget behind it, we feel really proud of ourselves and our ability to be clever or smart or witty. It doesn't matter. You know, to be honest, I've sat in sessions like this for years about writing social media content, and it's 2019, and I have partners at LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook, and they've all told me nobody cares about your social media messages. You know, really, at PwC, what we had to do is take that information. Nobody cares what we're talking about. But what is it that they do care about? What are the messages that they're clicking on? And what we learned was really simple. The messages that got the most clicks were the ones that had a piece of data and a link. We also found that most of the time, the messages didn't even include a call to action, like click here or to read more. Nobody cares. People know that they're supposed to click the link, right? So we have wanted to consider what does our content demand from the end user? So this is where we start to talk about content with a purpose. We are thinking, like, what is the attention that we want this piece of content to grab? Is it a video? Is it a still image? Is it a picture of our internal staff, external staff? What is it that we're promoting? What is our goal? What is our conversion? So is there a link to click? Is it just a video to watch? And then what kind of engagement are we expecting? At the end of the day, it's not just a content calendar. It's what our purpose is, right? What's our mission for that campaign? So here's an example, and I'm really sorry if anyone knows this brand. This is promoted on LinkedIn, and I see a message. Right now, I'm not even reading the message. I don't even care. I see a link, and I see a video. And I see sign up. So there are four things that this message is asking me to do. And it's a lot. I'm scrolling through. I'm on the train. I don't care. I've not even engaged with it. Right? So if this brand is paying on a CPM model, they just spent money on my eyeballs for no reason, right? And that's too bad, because now that I'm taking 2 seconds to look at it, I'm actually in the market for an agency like this. So, but probably not, because I don't like what they're doing. So that's how we make decisions, right? They're a B2B agency. They're probably selling, actually I know this brand, they're selling an influencer tracker. And I really don't like what they just did. So that's that. I realize that this is small. But what this says in this Forrester consulting survey is that buyers, B2B buyers, favor shorter format content that's easy to find. And the top three are short form reports, infographics, and articles. So PwC, like I said, puts out amazing content. We have, right now, that just came out last week, a 140-page paper about the changes that we're facing in 2020 for credit card and mortgage rates. This is amazingly interesting content, and I know because I had to read it, but what do the people on the other side of LinkedIn think about that? So I had to go back to these thought leaders who spent months and months preparing this, these thought leaders who have education that I will never have because, like you heard, I'm a college dropout, and they put all of this amazing information into this 140-page paper, and I told them, I don't give a shit about this paper. I am not promoting it on social media. Turn it into, I don't know, let's just do a 700, 800-word LinkedIn post, and I'll link to your paper. And they didn't want to hear that, right? But it's actually one of our most successful campaigns running right now, because we have to consider information like this. And again, if you are in B2B, which maybe a lot of you aren't, I still find this really helpful. So please take this information. I know you can download our slides somewhere on the conference website. And the last piece of content that is probably the most important part, right, because as I said, what we've learned is nobody's reading our messages, is what is your creative saying, right? Is it talking to the right audience? And so this is an example from Citizens Bank, and as you can see, it was promoted. Once again, it's on LinkedIn. And it says, are you extra or frugal, right? And so I'll say it. I am going to be 34 next week, and this language speaks to me because it's in a language that I probably use. I mean, I don't think I really say extra, but it stopped me for a minute because I wouldn't expect a bank to say it on social media. So if it could stop me for a minute, chances are I will take the next step and read the text, which says, are you really all that? I mean, this is a stretch, right? Are you really all that when it comes to savings? Take the savings personality quiz. this is really straightforward. It's asking me, it's telling me what to do, and it's telling me, am I extra or am I frugal? I mean, I can answer that, but I will imagine if I got something for taking their quiz. I didn't, just so you know. I already have too many lines of credit in too many places because I'm a millennial, as we learned last night, and I just bought a house, so so I can't talk to any banks on LinkedIn. So I wanted to take a minute to talk about PwC's old ecosystem. And from conversations that are actually happening on Twitter in this conference, I've learned that this is actually a problem that a lot of other brands, people in this room have had, right? So when I got to PwC, these were all of our social media profiles. And that's a lot to manage, right? Because when I got to PwC, my coworker, Amina, who's sitting over there, she actually managed every single one of these, or just about every single one of these. And that wasn't even her primary responsibility. So when I got to PwC, I saw this happening. And what was going on was that it just kind of felt like we were stretched really thin. And I'm sure that maybe a lot of you can, a lot of you that maybe come from a similar industry can identify. You know, we had to have a handle for our global presence, for our US presence, from our careers. I mean, we employ in the US alone, I think it's 50,000 people, 50,000 plus people. So that was important for us. Then we own a few businesses, right? So we own this publication called Strategy End. Then we have a digital division, advisory division, so on and so forth. You see the groups. And it was just too much, right? And at the end of the day, like, what does all the data mean? So this past year, we decided to cut everything back. And we also decided to get rid of a few things. So as you can see, we had Instagram and Snapchat and Medium because, you know, this is important because they're cool and trending social networks. But you know what? They didn't do anything for us. Who cares? I think there's a lot of stress to be on all these platforms. You don't have to be on every single platform, right? And so by me telling my stakeholders, you know, I get that you want to have a Medium page. I get that you want to say that you're on Snapchat. But at the end of the day, is it helping us drive business? Because if it's not, we're a small team, and we need to be effective. So we cut back. We focused on Twitter and LinkedIn, and we still have Instagram for life at PwC, because like I said, we have a lot of employees, and they have to have a place to show what they're doing and their benefits, and they're all. We have a lot of internal programs that we do. But let's talk about goals, and let's talk about targeting, because that's why, you know, we're here, right? So we had to be really specific. When we went to leadership and we said we wanted to cut out half of their social presence, you know, we're talking to a generation of leaders who are really egotistical, right? And they love seeing their pictures on social media. That's their favorite thing, right? Because they wrote an article or they published a book and they need everyone to know about it. But I said, you know what, we're going to cut that in half. And what we're going to do now is unless this campaign, unless this paper that you spent months and months putting out drives business for our company, we're not going to support it on social media. And we got a huge amount of backlash. Huge amount. Still dealing with it today. But we have to be smart, right? So that's what we did. And for every campaign that we put out, we decided we needed to have a goal. So it seems kind of obvious, but where I come from on the agency side, I even had clients that said, I want to do a social media report or a social media campaign, and they couldn't define what their goals were. So I'm still getting that situation today. Like I said, that credit card report, they didn't really know what their goals were. They just wanted a lot of people to know that they wrote this 140-page paper, and I said, that's not a social media goal. Like, how can we turn it into one? So for our B2B goals, we define that the first goal is clicks to website, right? We need people to come to our website, and we need to identify who they are. And we need people to download our reports. Even though it's a very old-timey kind of metric, it's still the bread and butter of our business is that we put out this content, so we need people to download it. We also want them to fill out forms on our website. Again, sounds really old school, believe it or not, it does really well for us. And then our last kind of goal that I don't like to really say is a standalone goal is awareness. So you guys know PwC has a lot of negative and positive and sometimes tragic situations that have happened around it in the past 3 years. Something happened at the Oscars, I don't know what happened. Can't really talk about it. And then earlier last year, one of our employees was shot and killed by an off-duty police officer in Dallas, Texas. We have a lot of things that happen with our names, with our name attached to us, being such a large company, and we have to sometimes put out content where we want to be supportive or we want to change the narrative. And so in those cases, awareness is really important. But when it comes to our business, our target audience is very specific. So this chart kind of shows who we precisely target. And as you can imagine, this is not the easiest target audience to reach. So we target what we like to call the C-suite plus two, meaning decision makers at companies. And even though this is for PwC, this is actually very similar to the audience that I used to target with LVMH, because very similarly, people who buy a Louis Vuitton handbag, they have probably been coveting that handbag for years, saving up enough money, waiting for a tax refund, something along the line. So it's not an immediate decision, and it's an affluent person. So this can kind of be translated to anything, because it's really just talking about being really specific with goals. And then once they get to your website, I mean, this is like pretty common, like user experience kind of thing, but can they find what your goal is? And how far down the page are they actually finding it? So for us, it's really important. And again, when I got to PwC, it wasn't always like this. They would send people literally to a PDF landing page. Sometimes it still happens. And I have to say, what are you doing? But you know, you want to send them to somewhere where they can read our report or fill out this form. This example is for Digital Trust, where we put out a paper about information security. And believe it or not, you know, as much as I didn't know about this content when I came to PwC, what I realized is that the audience for this kind of content is so specific but so hungry. It's about finding the right people and just testing how hungry they are for it. That really helps to make things successful. But of course, talking about budget, if you want to reach those people, you have to pay for them, right? So how many people, I guess, in this room feel confident with the amount of money that they have to work with annually? Okay, so not as many people as that run paid social, right? I think this is probably a conversation I have with my stakeholders at least 5 times a day, where my stakeholder will tell me they want to reach a national audience and they want to reach every C-suite executive in this national audience for $5,000. They said, we'll be successful with $5,000. And I say, okay. That's a really funny joke, guys. So I have to turn back, and I have to be able to provide to them why that just doesn't make sense. When I think of a campaign that's coming to me via email, via phone call, whatever it is, I think about how many campaigns is this really? Because it's never just one campaign. It's A/B testing, it's LinkedIn, it's Twitter, it's Facebook. There's multiple iterations of it. So how many campaigns am I running? Who is our target? And what historically do I know about how expensive that target is? So we have historic numbers. I know, for example, on LinkedIn, the cost of a click. What have I paid for it? I typically will pay $7 to $12 for it. So if this person thinks $5,000 is gonna be successful, I have to lean on my data, right? And then something I found interesting from Social Trends came out this year. I mean, this is obvious. It's kind of like a very obvious stat, but 64% of their survey respondents identified the decline in organic reach and the need to increase paid budget is as big challenges. Well, that should be like 100% really, right? But I bring this stat up to kind of further push my point is that this past year in 2018, PwC made a very big decision to no longer run organic content. So everything we do has a paid budget behind it. Because why did we have a team of, let's say, 5 or 6 people writing tons of social messages if 2% of their audience were going to see it? And so what we did was we now have those same 5 or 6 people writing social messages, but they're only writing about half of what they wrote before, right? So we're only writing things that make a difference to our bottom line, and we're putting money behind it. Again, this included me going to our stakeholders and asking for a lot of money, which was difficult because these people still only wanted to give me $5,000. And PwC is a brand that's trying to reach, like I said, C-suite executives from every Fortune 500 company that there is. So you can imagine how many people it is and how much money I had to ask for. I think I'll be realistic and transparent. I asked for $3.3 million. I got $300,000, okay? But this is huge, because this was my first step, my first attempt to do it. And this year, because our fiscal year ends on June 30th, this year I'm gonna ask for $1 million. But I'm gonna have proof that this is what $300,000 did. So let's try and do 3 times that. And I know those numbers seem big. I mean, they seem big for some people, or they might seem small for some people. It's all in what brands you're working with. I had to show my leadership a lot of graphs that look like this, right? Because these stakeholders, these old school stakeholders, they really enjoy graphs, as you can imagine. Accountants do. Because I think everybody in PwC has a CPA, except for me. Again, I'm a college dropout. I'm just kidding. They're paying for me to go back to school now, so that's exciting. So I have to show a lot of graphs when I do things, right? This graph just is very, very obvious that in 2009, social media made up 3.5% of the marketing budget. And in February 2018, it's up to 12%. And for some brands, that might be a number that's double or even triple sometimes, depending on what and where your audience is and where your goals are. But for a brand like us, I mean, you have to keep in mind that I don't have any ROI on social media. There is never going to be a situation where I can say, this person clicked the link, and now they're a customer. It's just not how we operate, right? I can say that I drove X amount of clicks to our website, and I know, because of analytics, that 20% of those clicks came from C-level people at Coca-Cola, and I'm gonna give that information to our sales team, but I can never say that the C-level executive signed an agreement for consulting because of me, right? So it puts us in like this really hard situation, because the first thing that any executive wants to know is how much money have you made us? And I need to say, let's rephrase that. How much money has been influenced because of social media? How many of our clients have read our papers and have wanted to continue a conversation with us because they saw one of our papers on social media? So a lot of what I do and a lot of this is about educating stakeholders, right? So when we go into targeting and we're talking about who we want to reach, it's been really important this past year, and it's only been this past year, that we were specific to the point where we can make sure we're reaching the right people. So what can we determine? We know who our key economic buyers are. We know typically about how much money they make because that information is out there. So we know that they usually make, let's say, $250,000 and above. Right, so just by adding those parameters and targeting on any social platform, I'm gonna get rid of a whole lot of people that I don't wanna pay for. We know what their job roles are, right? We definitely know what their job roles are because a lot of times we sit in meetings with them. That also eliminates a ton of people. And then we know the kind of engagement that we wanna have with them. So our business is broken up into many sectors. So if we are doing an audit business, we know exactly what kind of engagement we need to have versus if we are doing some sort of other consulting business. And then just knowing that research and knowing who those people are, again, is very important to be very specific. What I've learned is that the more specific I am, even though I might not have a huge reach, and my impression numbers have gone down dramatically, and believe it or not, I just reported my annual website traffic report to my stakeholders, and my annual incoming traffic to the website was down 6% year over year. And I was really happy about that. They were like, what are you talking about? That's terrible. And I said, you know, let's look at it this way. In that same report, my conversions were up 30%. I reached 40% people on our priority contact list. So I'm not paying for website traffic that is meaningless. So let's, again, rephrase the conversation. And how did I do that? So we have agency partners, right? We work with agencies. It can't just be Amina and myself. And we had to do a lot of research. You know, I got the $300,000 and I said, I have to be really wise because I only got so little of what I actually asked for. So where am I going to put my money? And what we found was 70% of Fortune 500 CEOs are on one platform. They're on LinkedIn. 10% of Fortune 500 CEOs have Twitter accounts. So when I got to PwC, we were spending a lot of money on Twitter. We got a lot of incoming traffic, but again, none of it actually made these conversions, right? So what we did was we actually switched our budget planning, where we're spending most of our money on LinkedIn, which makes my friends at LinkedIn very, very happy, and a lot less money on Twitter, which makes them not as happy. So we take information like this, and we worked with an agency to kind of do research into our audience. And you know, the agency will turn in this really nice presentation of who your audience is. But we still run everything in-house. And so when we run everything in-house, we really take into consideration the tools that the social networks provide you. So this is a forecasted results tool from LinkedIn. And when you have a target audience size of 68,000. Some people might think that's kind of small for a national target, but that's literally how many people we have to target. So why I use these tools is because I think it's been really helpful to me. I know what to expect, and most importantly, I know how to prepare my stakeholders for what they should expect, because a lot of times they expect something grand, and I really have to tell them that, you know, we might only get 25 clicks, and that's okay, because all of those clicks are from the CEOs or C-suite executives at Coca-Cola, and that's the brand we want to win. I'm just using an example. And that's the brand we want to win, so why should we waste time in other places? So again, it's very different from, I think, where I came from and where a lot of brands and agencies might be thinking, where they want to cast a wide net and see what comes in. And it's just a change in being a lot more specific because our budget was small and our team was small. So I'm going to Just think about time here. I want to answer questions. But changing the conversation. So effective KPIs, right? How did I convince my stakeholders to actually build a social media team? Fun fact, at PwC, social media is baked into PR, which is why my title is External Comms Manager. It's because I'm on the external comms team. I'm not a social media manager or social media director because that title just doesn't exist. It hurts me a little bit, but that's just what it is, right? So how do I make my reports and how do I present them to my stakeholders so that I can go to them next month and ask for the $1 million before I go on maternity leave? Like, hey, give me $1 million, I'm gonna leave. because your maternity benefits are so awesome, so I'll be back in 6 months. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding, I'm really going on maternity leave. But how do I present this to them in a way that actually makes sense to them, right? So my social media reports do not look like how they did when I was reporting to DKNY or Louis Vuitton. There is nowhere on any of my social media reports that show followers, likes, hearts, retweets. I care about it, it matters to me, but my stakeholders care about the bottom line, right? So I have to talk in their language. So all of my social media reports talk about website traffic, time on site, priority accounts engaged. Again, LinkedIn is magical to us. So if a business unit comes to me and says, we have 10 accounts we need to win by the end of the year, I put those into LinkedIn and I can target people who work there. Twitter can't do that. Facebook thinks they can do that. So I don't know, the jury's out. Form submits and downloads. And then I have proof, right? So I have proof with my data, with my back end, right? Because we have partnerships with Salesforce and so many analytics things, it's crazy. So I have proof that those people clicked on our content. I have proof of their interest, and I have proof that they've downloaded what we're providing to them. And a lot of times, that's all my stakeholder needs to know in order to give me funds and to invest in social media. And the why I'm ending with this is because I think it's probably something we all go through is, why should you invest in this, right? Because I believe in it. I think it makes a difference. But how can I prove it to you? And I think it makes such a big difference when we actually speak in the language of our stakeholders. But obviously, it takes a long road to get here. So I wanted to now just open it up to any questions that you guys might have. I think there's a few minutes left, maybe. Okay, 10 minutes, something like that.
Well, first of all, round of applause. Sorry, I think great presentation. Thank you. Did see a question here.
So we actually have partnerships with Salesforce. We use Adobe Analytics, Google Analytics. We also use some Oracle tools for email acquisition. I would say we. So for social media, we are a Salesforce company, and we're using Social Studio. They also have a reporting tool that they provide to us. I think that they sell it as a tool called Datarama. You don't, with Salesforce, I think you can buy like bits and pieces of their tools. You don't have to buy like the whole suite. So, but Datarama is really cool because you can plug your Google Analytics into it, and you can plug your social media into it, and it can help to identify users. Let's say if you didn't already know who they were.